When it comes to the State House in Trenton, desperate times call for higher taxes. At least that's one idea that's been floated this past week. While that's been taking place, a series of steps have been taken to address domestic violence in light of the Ray Rice story. Here to discuss some of these ideas and other topics is the Assemblywoman from New Jersey's 24th District, Allison McCose. How are you this week?
Good morning. Great, thanks.
Well, we all know the Transportation Trust Fund is in a big hole, and $1.6 billion is the estimate needed to meet the state's annual transportation spending obligations. Assemblyman John Wisniewski, as well as over on the Senate side, State Senator Ray Lesniak are saying, well, we haven't raised the gas tax since 1988. It's the second lowest, second to Alaska in the country. So, hey, why not? Of course, they apparently are math majors because some estimates say you would have to hike the tax to 45 cents a gallon to cover that $1.6 billion hole.
Okay, on a serious subject, I hate to make a joke, but the Democrats never seem to see a tax that they don't love. So, you know, here we go. They're pushing this. And the biggest question I get asked as I travel around the district is, where has the money gone? You know, the difficulty in New Jersey is our infrastructure is quite old. We have bridges and roads that are in great disrepair and, you know, something needs to be done, but I'm not sure that this is the right way to go about it.
I think what's concerning some people is the incoming commissioner of the Department of Transportation, Jamie Foxx, not the actor comedian, that's all another Jamie Foxx, that he got approval for his job this past week, 37-0. He's saying, it's worth talking about.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious from the chatter in the State House that Jamie Foxx was brought in to do this. He was DOT commissioner, I think in Corzine's administration, and he's been in the private sector. He is a big Democrat operative and strategist. He's been brought in to handle this crisis, and then he'll probably go back to the private sector. This is on the fast track. His nomination went right through the Senate Judiciary and the floor of the Senate. And already this past Wednesday in the Assembly Transportation Committee, they had public hearings on it. So this is on the fast track for sure.
Of course, during his confirmation hearing, Foxx's confirmation hearing, no senators asked him about the gas tax at the time. So,
well, you know what? If maybe it was the best kept secret, but it broke pretty soon after I heard the rumor that he was coming. So I don't know if the other senators aren't up on this, you know, what's happening, but I heard about it.
Well, here's Foxx's resume. He's called a Democratic operative. He served as chief of staff to Robert Torricelli. There's something you want to have on your resume, as well as former Governor Jim McGreevy. He worked as deputy executive director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and since 2004 served on the New Jersey Local Finance Board and helped run Obama's 2008 Florida election operation, which I guess brings about the question, this is the best Christie could pick for this position?
Well, again, this was done purposefully to, I believe, to get this Transportation Trust Fund back in solvency. And I think that this is sort of the worst case scenario for those of us who are not thrilled about increasing taxes. The governor is able to say, oh, that was my DOT commissioner, not me, and the Democrats in the legislature. So it's going to be, I would say, a very spirited debate about this. And certainly there are people that are very concerned, and we don't like the T word. So we'll see what happens.
Sort of like a Roger Goodall, I didn't see the video before I made the decision, which, speaking of that, there has been a series of pieces of legislation introduced in light of the Ray Rice story. Run them through fast here. A2163, create a task force to review state laws and practices regarding domestic violence. 1310 is require defendants convicted of domestic violence to undergo counseling. 1953, allow victims to testify against the accused through closed circuit television as opposed to in the courtroom, which could be intimidating. 1579, allow courts to admit the restraining orders as evidence as to whether the use of force was justifiable if someone is charged with attacking their abuser. And 1953 is require police to search a registry of domestic violence restraining orders when conducting an arrest, which one would think that would be something that should have been a standard operational procedure anyway.
I was just going to say, some of these, you know, you'd think they're no-brainers and they should be doing it already. But yes, these bills, and to tell you the truth, they've been in the hopper for a while, so they're not completely in reaction to the Ray Rice situation, but certainly the national attention on the issue of domestic violence was helpful. So I think Speaker Prieto chose to put these bills forward for that reason. And, you know, some of them are very, very good. We had a member actually in the legislature who confessed that she was raised in a household where her mother was beaten by a either boyfriend or stepfather. And it was very emotional. So certainly it puts a face on the issue, and these bills sailed through.
Is there any thought or anything in the works as far as a pretrial intervention program? Because, again, the Atlantic County prosecutor, Jim McClain, had initially had red carpeted Ray Rice into the program in spite of the fact that it was a violent act that he committed. And one of the prerequisites is you can't have a violent act to be in the PTI. While at the same time, and we'll talk about this in another segment later in the show with a guest, how a woman in Philadelphia was denied access into the PTI for just making the mistake of having a right to carry permit, bringing the gun over the bridge, and not realizing that a right to carry permit from another state is not recognized in New Jersey.
I believe that there is a bill in to make that change. I can't remember if it was introduced or just talked about. But clearly, the change would be a positive, in my opinion, to make them not eligible for PTI. It's always a sticky wicket because you get both sides of the argument. We obviously as legislators want to make it better and easier for prosecutors to prosecute these criminals, and they are criminals. But then people on the other side say, oh, I don't know, that's not like – we shouldn't do that. But you know what? It's got to be discussed. And certainly the Atlantic City case is also high profile. And I think ultimately she was granted PTI, but it was after much ado.
Yeah, McClain pulled a Roger Goodell and said, well, now that I've really looked at everything, I've rethought my decision.
Yeah.
So he's back in, and no guarantee about, you know, the woman lost her job over all this. So hopefully McClain will intervene and put that piece of the puzzle back together as well. We're talking with Assemblywoman Alice McCose, alicemccose.com on the web. State House is njledge.state.nj.us, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You are a co-sponsor of ACR 16, which amends the state constitution to stop the courts from interfering with the legislature's ability to make the school funding formula more fair for students in the state. One of the problems is that a minority of the schools is getting a majority of the money.
Right. This resolution would tell the New Jersey Supreme Court once and for all that you need to stay in your lane, that your job is to interpret the law, not to dictate what is appropriated. That is our job as the legislature. Over 40 years ago, we had this Abbott decision. We've had subsequent big decisions, including COA, that have come out of the New Jersey Supreme Court, and there has been a question as to who is the legislative body here. Are you legislating from the bench, or are we in the legislature doing our job? So this would tell them once and for all, hey, do your job and stay in your lane.
With all the, it was 2010 that $1.1 billion in cuts to state aid was done with the school funding formula, and then there was a lawsuit filed, and the court found the cuts did violate the law, but again, they gave the preference to the 31 Abbott school districts. Has anyone ever studied or presented to, as a means to promote legislation or to restrict the courts from doing it, these are money pits. The kids are not learning. The test scores are not increasing. The graduation rate is still dropping.
Right. Well, many of us, and there have been some lobbying efforts that have joined us, have been talking for years that the money's not reaching the children. You hear story after story in these former Abbott districts now that they just get money and they hire bureaucrats, you know, to do the top level jobs and the office jobs, and the teachers still are not getting the money in the classroom, and the kids aren't. It's not reaching them, and obviously not having results. The difficulty here is we have towns like Hoboken that are still considered non-Abbott districts getting that crazy money, and we need to do something about it. And the Corzine funding formula is what we're operating under now, and it's really unfair.
Want to share your thoughts on what we talked about here and bring something to her attention that you think is worthy? That is what you could do at AllisonMcHose.com. And to keep on top of the action at the State House, piece of legislation we mentioned here, and you can also look up something that is interest of you. You can do that at njledge.state.nj.us. She is the Assemblywoman for New Jersey's 24th District, Allison McHose, and we will talk next week.
Thank you. Have a wonderful Sunday.